Sorry, I put you in emergency mode. I called him yesterday and he says, did you get my text? I sent it on like Wednesday. I said, what text? I didn't get any text. I'm sorry. What did the text say? He said, you know, just about what, you know, what to expect at the service and everything. And I'm like, well, that's why I'm calling today. It's Saturday at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, don't do that. Sorry. I'm good. You know, I'm. If I say I'll be here, I'll be here. It's really a privilege to be here with you guys. I said you guys this time. Last time I said y'all. But it's been a few years now that we have since we've been here. We were here, I think, Missions Month. I think maybe 2 years ago, maybe three. But it's been a while now, and a lot has taken place in our ministry, in our family, since we were here last, and I just wanted to share a little quick update. If you weren't here during Sunday school, you guys call it Bible study or Sunday school, you know what it is. But if you weren't here for that, you didn't get a chance to hear everything about all that God is doing around the world through Youth Ministry International, which is the organization that we serve with. And Youth Ministry International is really a small organization. We have three missionaries that are overseas on the field right now. We have three missionaries who are raising support to go overseas. And then we have a bunch of other ministries that we have around the world where we don't have missionaries living there. And I used to live in Mexico City, and so all of this stuff is very appealing to me. And the food outside, if you didn't get any food outside, you came too late. So next week, come early. But the food outside reminds me of being back in Mexico City. We were there for 12 years with my family. Let's see, they work today. This is my family. Janelle is my wife. My oldest son in the middle there is Nathan. He's 8 years old. No, he's 11 years old, sorry. Benjamin is 8 years old, and Shiloh is 6 years old. And we lived in Mexico City for 12 years. And 2 years ago, God called us back to the United States to work with the same mission organization, but in a different role, in a different job. And I wanted to share with you a little bit about Youth Ministry International before getting into the Word of God. And our mission at Youth Ministry International is to share the gospel with young people all over the world so that they may become disciples of Jesus Christ. I think that's the mission of the church, to share the gospel with people all over the world so that they may become disciples of Jesus Christ. But we put with young people because in many countries that we go in, the young people are kind of an afterthought. When you talk about the history of missions, usually we talk about missionaries who go and the first people that they target are adults. You're going to start a church, you're going to plant a church, you plant a church with adults, and then you hope that the young people come along as well. And so YMI is a group of youth pastors, renegades, people who kind of just think a little bit outside the box and have a passion for the next generation, which I believe comes from the Bible, right? The Bible teaches us that it's the church's responsibility to share the gospel with the next generation. It's the church's responsibility and Christian parents' responsibility to disciple the next generation. And so at Youth Ministry International, we believe that we have been called to take the gospel to young people all over the world so that they may become disciples of Jesus. And the way that we do that, here's our message. You guys know this. Jesus came to die for the sins of everyone so that we can be forgiven and live as followers of Jesus. And that's the gospel. Jesus died for our sins and he was raised on the third day. That's what we're going to celebrate in Easter. On the Easter. I heard the Easter. And that's what we're going to celebrate. That's why we do what we do. That's what we come to celebrate today, is that Jesus is risen. And that's the gospel. And there are so many who have never heard that, even in a way that's relevant to their own lives. And so that's our message. And the way that we do that is we train youth leaders for local churches who will then reach and disciple young people in their own people group. So a lot of what we do is we go into a place and we develop a strategy to train leaders so that they can go into their local churches and reach out to young people. And so far, I used to work at the Mexican Baptist Theological Seminary, which is pictured right there with some of my students. I'm in there too, if you can find me. It's not very hard to find me in that picture. But this is where I stayed for 12 years, and I loved it. I loved living in Mexico, but God called us back to the United States to work in a different role, in a role that will empower others to be able to go out. And I have the opportunity to go back every once in a while. I taught there last month. And now we live in Louisville, Kentucky, which is kind of another mission field. I'm from Florida, so I grew up in Florida. I was born in West Palm Beach, amen? Best city in Florida, probably. Probably. I say probably because I then moved to the West Coast, which also became home. And then we moved to Mexico, and we moved back, and they say, well, our home office is in Louisville, Kentucky. And so now I have to say words like y'all, and I have to deal with Kentucky Wildcat fans and University of Louisville basketball, stuff that's canceling meetings. I got an email from my church this morning that said, we had a business meeting planned after church today, but it's canceled because the University of Louisville plays in the tournament. So we're going to have it next week. And so it's a whole different environment up there, but we're in Louisville, Kentucky, ministering out of the home office of YMI, and actually we love it in Kentucky. YMI is operating in 22 countries. We have training in 22 countries, which actually that happens because some of the people that we train, they go to a different country, and they take the training and they just do it. And so it's not necessarily that I have 22 countries that I'm trying to manage, but there are people from YMI in 22 countries. 7,500 churches have youth workers that we have trained in them. And of those 7,500 churches, there's 600 students who have graduated. No, 600 students who are taking our courses right now. 18,000 youth workers who are actually in a local church, being boots on the ground, so to speak, people who are actually involved in the lives of 500,000 young people who are involved in these churches' youth ministries on a weekly basis. And the result of all of that is that 300,000 young people have come to know Christ in the last 9 years based on all of the machinery that YMI is and all of the people who are involved in our team. God gets all the credit for that, but the other thing that I believe is one of the key things for any mission organization or any church or any ministry is prayer. And so without churches like this church, who is involved in this, by the way, who has been praying for us for at least 5 years, who has been giving to our ministry for 5 years, you guys are part of this. And so whenever I talk about YMI, I talk about this is our ministry. This is what God is doing through us, because the history of missions is the history of answered prayer. And whenever we talk about missions, whenever a missionary comes, it's mission month, we have to remember that missions is entirely based on God's people asking God what they're supposed to be doing and then obeying Him in that mission. And so my new job in Kentucky is to kind of steer the logistical machinery that is YMI, and I'm the guy who sends out prayer cards. I'm the guy who sends out newsletters. I'm the guy who sends out the emails that say, hey, we're doing this. Will you pray for us? And what happens usually whenever somebody gives you a prayer card? What do you do? I know what I do. I put it on my refrigerator, because my refrigerator is the most visited second most visited, third, I don't know. It's one of the most visited places. I'm not going to tell you what's one or two or three, okay? But it's one of the most visited places, as you can see, in my entire house. So we put up prayer cards up on our refrigerator, and they're always falling off. I don't know, does that happen to you? I need some better magnets or something. But they're always falling off, and I'm always picking them up, and I'm always putting them back there. And if somebody says, hey, you got my prayer card, I say, yeah, you're on my refrigerator. And they're like, okay, that's great. Do you pray when you go to your refrigerator? Well, not usually, because I'm looking for, I don't know, a Twinkie or something. I don't know. I'm not really looking for a Twinkie. But I'm looking for water. That's what it is. But we do all of this as missionaries. We put prayer cards out. We send prayer emails. By the way, did you know, if you're on a mailing list, that person that sends the email knows if you opened the email or not? Did you also know that it is very disappointing as a missionary whenever you get an open rate of like 1%, right? I got 500 people who say they're going to pray for me. I send out an email and it says 1% opened it. What's 1% of 500? Come on, all you brainy math people. 5 people, right? So if you take a prayer card and say, hey, yeah, I'm going to pray for you, you probably need to figure out how to pray. And so as I was thinking about how can I encourage this church to pray for their missionaries, and not just me, please pray for me, please pray for my family. How can we pray for missionaries? I thought, well, who is one of the greatest missionaries of all time? Well, Paul, right? And Paul, whenever he was writing to the churches that were supporting him, the churches that he was writing all of these letters to in the New Testament, he says, pray for me. And he asks for specific prayers. And I thought, why don't we take a look today at how Paul asked for prayer? Because as missionaries, we're constantly asking for prayer, and we really want the church to be involved in praying. But how? How should the church pray for its missionaries? And there are 5 passages that we're going to look at. Okay, so if you have a Bible, I didn't put them up here. You're not going to get to look. So you don't get to cheat. You'll have to grab your Bible, and we're going to look, and we're going to go first to Colossians chapter 4. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 4 first. And while you're looking it up, I'm going to pray. You don't have to close your eyes. You can keep looking it up. Or you can close your eyes if you've already found it. God, thank you for today, and thank you for your word. Thank you for the life that it brings to us. And thank you for its message. And I pray, God, that you will help us to be people of the Word, students of the Word, and a church that prays according to the way that you want us to pray. I pray for this message, and I ask that this church will take it to heart and pray for their missionaries. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians chapter 4. You got it? Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says this, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us. Here we go. He says, pray also for us. Here's how I want you to pray. That God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. That's passage number 1. We'll get back to that. Passage number 2 is in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. We're going to start in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And this is where he asks for prayer for himself. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that's the second passage where Paul says, pray also for me. Pray for me. We'll get back to that. The third passage is in 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25. 4 simple words. Brothers, pray for us. Pray for us. That was an easy one. Passage number 4 is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. He says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from the wicked and evil men. For not all have the faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And then finally, in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 18 says, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. So Paul writes in 5 different places in the New Testament. As he's talking to the church, he's writing back to them, he's giving them all of this instruction, he's saying, don't forget about this, don't forget about this, I taught you about this. And then he usually ends the letter saying, by the way, pray for us. But he doesn't just say, pray for us, blanket, boom, this is what I'm going to ask, just pray. He gives them specific ways to pray for him. And I believe the church has specific ways in which we can pray for the missionaries who are in Africa, the missionaries who are in Mexico, the missionaries who are wherever. And we can use these passages to understand a little bit about what God wants us to pray for missionaries. So here's what I want us to do. We're going to look at 4 ways that we can pray for missionaries. Are we ready? Did we pray? I prayed? Did we? Are you sure? Gosh. Feels like I should pray again. But anyway, it's the second service. You know, you forget things. You forget things. So here's what Paul is saying. Paul says that he wants general prayer for him and his team. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. You guys were already in Hebrews 13. Pray for us. He doesn't give them any real reason. He just says, pray for us. For we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. Guys, please pray for us. In 1 Thessalonians, what does he say? Brothers, pray for us. Those 4 words. General prayer. Dear church, just pray for your missionaries. I mean, that's step 1, right? What do? We get a prayer card. We say, I'm going to pray. Brother, I'm praying for you. Somebody sits down, they say, you know what, I got this real problem. We say, I'm going to pray for you. And then do we? If I'm honest, I say, hey, I'm going to pray for you. Maybe I pray when I'm saying that, like when I'm writing it, you know, on Facebook or whatever, somebody says, pray for me, I've got this problem. Because we like to tell all of our problems on Facebook. And you say, hey, I've got this problem, blah, blah. You say, praying for you, right? Praying for you. In the time that it takes me to type praying for you, that's about as much time as I spend praying. Right? Because we're real good at saying we're going to pray for somebody and not actually doing it. I'm preaching to myself, right? I'm real good at that. I'm real good at saying, hey, you know what? I know you've got problems. I know things are happening. I heard about your sister's uncle's mother's aunt that has cancer. I'm going to pray for her. But if I don't write it down and I don't put it somewhere, I don't pray again. And even if I do write it down and I put it somewhere, I don't always pray. And then you got missionaries who are in Argentina and you say, hey, I'm praying for you, because they come and they speak and you grab a prayer card and you put it on your refrigerator and you say, hey, I'm going to pray for you. And then what happens? It falls down underneath the refrigerator and we never once again pray for them. And Paul, why would Paul need to tell the church, brothers, pray for us? Because the church wasn't doing it. Right? Why else would he write that? Brothers, pray for us, because I don't know if you're doing it or not. So here's an idea. When we're doing general prayer for our missionary, almost every missionary has an email. You get an email newsletter from a missionary in some far off place. Number one, open it because they know. And number two, respond. It takes 2 seconds to hit reply on an email and say, hey, I just prayed for your family. But that 2 seconds of general prayer for that missionary, even if you don't read the newsletter. I mean, we craft these things and we're trying to tell the stories and get people excited. But we're all busy and we get 100 emails every day and we say, that one I'll read later. And what happens? We're in our email the next day and we're cleaning out the email and we're just swiping left. And what does that do? That just deletes it. And we swipe left, it deletes, swipe left. Oh, that's from so-and-so in Kenya. I don't have time to read that. Let alone pray. So what have I tried to do? I've tried to at least open it and respond. Even if I don't pray for those exact prayer requests. This general prayer for him and his team, that's what he's asking for. He says, brothers, pray for us. I know this church prays for its missionaries. I walked in today and somebody said, oh, hey, Dennis, I've been praying for you and your family. Anywhere else, that would be strange, right? Like, anybody that knows my name or whatever, if I'm just on the street, it's going to be a little bit strange, but I know that this church is praying for our family. And that's what Paul is asking for. He says, brothers, pray for us. General prayer. Hit respond on an email. You don't even have to. Hit respond. Pray. Dear God, I pray for these people who are ministering in wherever. Be with their ministry. Help their family. And then write, hey, I just prayed for you. Send. Do you know how encouraging that is? You probably don't. But I do. I know the people who have sent, who have hit respond on the emails that I sent. I remember them. I look for them. Because they have encouraged us. Even if they don't read the email, I mean, don't say you didn't read the email. If I get one from you and you say, I didn't read your email, but I prayed for you, I'll still be okay with it. But that's what Paul's saying. He says, okay, I've got this general prayer. Please pray for us. Please pray for us. Please pray for us. But he doesn't just leave it there. The next thing he does is he looks for a bold expression of the gospel. Paul's looking, he's asking, pray for me that I may be bold in the declaration of the gospel. This is the Ephesians passage, Ephesians 6. It says, pray also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Now think about this. He says it twice, right? When you're in school and the professor repeats something, what do? You better write it down, because that means it's on the test. I mean, those are the little hints that the professors give you. I'm going to repeat this. You better write it down because it's on the test, right? So Paul, what is he saying in Ephesians chapter 6? He says, pray for me that I may have words to boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel, that I may declare it boldly. He says it twice. He's asking the church to pray for him to have boldness to proclaim the gospel. The missionaries that are on the field need boldness to proclaim the gospel. Why? Because whenever you're a missionary, it is very easy to close yourself up in your little bubble and to sit in your home with your American television and with your, I don't know, your telephone back home to the United States that doesn't cost you anything nowadays from the internet, with your Facebook open, catching up with all of your friends back in the United States and not making any friends in your new country. Which is why you were there. It's why the church sent you. We didn't send you to hang out at home in your little club and be an American that's living overseas that just can't have the boldness to share the gospel. But you know what? It's not just missionaries who do that. Christians in the United States, we sit in our houses and we sit there and we aren't bold enough to talk to our neighbors about Jesus. And we're not bold enough to proclaim the gospel, which is what Paul is asking for in Ephesians chapter 6. Pray also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Think about this. Paul is writing from where? He just gives us a hint, right? He says, these chains that I have, he's writing from prison. Why is he in prison? For preaching. What was he preaching? The gospel. And then what does he say? Pray for me that I may have boldness to preach the gospel. Why in the world would a guy who was just put into jail for preaching the gospel pray for more boldness? He obviously had boldness. He wasn't the guy sitting here going, okay, well, I'm not going to preach the gospel. He was already out preaching. They already threw him in jail, locked him up, and he's writing to his friends, and he's saying, hey, pray for me that I can have the words to speak so that I can preach the gospel boldly. And then he repeats it, so that I can preach boldly, even though I've got these chains on. He already had boldness. Yet he wanted more. And I'm lucky if I wake up in the morning and I like actually say that I'm a Christian to anybody. Right? And Paul is over there going, hey, I'm locked up for saying that I'm a Christian, but I want more boldness. And our missionaries are sitting, many of them, in places where they're not allowed to speak about the gospel. There's more persecution going on today than there was in the day of Paul. Do we realize this? There are more people dying for their faith today than there were in the days of Paul. Yet we can sit here and go, hey, dear God, please give me boldness. Or we can forget to pray for those Christians who are in those countries where they're going to be persecuted if they're bold about the gospel. Pray for your missionaries that they can have a bold expression of the gospel. The third thing Paul seeks, he prays for a clear articulation of the gospel. Paul wants to share the gospel in a way that is understandable. That's why he's saying that I may have words to open my mouth boldly, that I can share the gospel and proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Missionaries many times have to deal with languages like this. Anybody here can read that? Anybody? No? Yeah, I can. It says, I will praise thee, O Lord. That's what you were going to say, wasn't it? Yeah, see, you're smart. But missionaries are sitting there learning languages that I don't even have the slightest idea. If it wasn't in church and it didn't have 100 other ones in languages that I understand, well, or in at least two languages that I understand, I wouldn't know. So when we pray for our missionaries to be able to clearly articulate the gospel, we're saying to God, God, help them take what they understand from the scripture and make it understandable to the people who are using this language and who are in this culture. Help them to preach the gospel and not just American Christianity. Help them to preach the pure gospel. Give them the words to say. Help them to understand enough of the culture to be able to say, hey, this is what the Bible teaches. And this is how we ought to walk and how we ought to live. And there are many, many missionaries who are trying to learn a language, trying to process something, and they can't get it out. People ask me all the time if my kids understand or if my kids speak Spanish. I got 3 kids, I already showed them to you. One's 11, one's 8, one's 6. They've all lived in Mexico. The 11-year-old speaks a little bit of Spanish. The 8-year-old speaks a little bit of Spanish. The 6-year-old, I don't think she speaks much Spanish. But I keep telling people, it's in there. It's in there. They've heard it. It's in there. When they start studying Spanish, it's going to come out. But when I learned Spanish, it was in there. But if you come up and ask me something, those little guys up there were looking for the right words. And they weren't finding them. And they weren't informing my mouth of what words were supposed to be coming out. A clear articulation of the gospel. I talked to my friend who's a missionary with YMI in Ukraine, and every once in a while, I mean, he's in Ukrainian, Russian, every single day he's talking to people, and he comes back, he tries to flip back into English, and he's like, well, what's the word in English for that? And I look at him, I go, I've been there. I know. But the point is that we are supposed to have a clear articulation of the gospel message that changes lives. So as we pray for our missionaries, pray that they will not only be able to speak the language, but that they will be able to understand the right way to share the truths of the Word of God in the culture in which they live. Pray for them. Pray that they will have the words, that those words will be given to them so that they can declare the gospel, which is the only saving message for the cultures of the world. And the fourth thing is that Paul seeks prayer for the further expansion of the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 3 says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead. I love that word. I love that phrase. That the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. Why does he want to be delivered from wicked and evil men? Because he wants the word of the Lord to be able to speed ahead. And then in Colossians 4, it says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word. Paul wants the gospel to move forward to other places, not just the places that he's been. He's praying. He's saying, church, pray for me. Pray that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. So you got Paul asking for general prayer. And then he's saying, help me to be bold as I preach the gospel. And then he says, help me to be articulate as I preach the gospel, to speak clearly. And then he says, why do I want to be able to do these things? So that the word of the Lord may speed ahead. The same thing, the same prayer is what we have for the church. Horizon Baptist Church, we are going to pray for you that you may share the word of God, the gospel, boldly to those who are around this place. That you will share the word of God, the gospel, clearly, so that the word of the Lord may speed ahead. Not just creep, but that it may speed ahead. And that the many people who are around here who don't know about the gospel may be able to hear it in a way that is relevant to their lives, in a way that changes their lives. So as you pray, as you pick up prayer cards and newsletters and emails, the entire prayer process is this. Why do we ask you to pray for us as missionaries? So that the gospel may advance. Not an easy life. God never promised us to have an easy life. I have a friend who's a youth pastor in China. And he was sharing at a church about persecution and the way that many things are happening. And he said, you know, we don't pray for an easy life. We pray for a strong heart. And I believe that's what Paul is asking for. When he's writing to the churches, he's saying, give me boldness despite my chains. Help me share the gospel clearly so that more people will know, so that the gospel can speed ahead. We're not here to have an easy life. Missionaries don't go on the field to have an easy life. But they do need a church that's willing to pray for them. And a church that's ready to share the gospel around the world. So thank you for praying for my family. Thank you for praying for our ministry. I hope that the next email I send out, no, I'm just kidding. I hope that this church will continue to be a missions church. And I said in the first service, I didn't say it yet today, in the second one, that I don't believe that this church only celebrates missions one month out of the year. This church is a mission church, a church on mission and a church that supports missions. And so for that, we thank you. Keep up with what you're doing and do even more so that the gospel can speed ahead. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for the message of the gospel, that Jesus died for us, that despite our sins, you were willing to send your only son to die on a cross for us because you loved us and you do love us. Thank you for raising him up on the third day so that we can know him, so that we can walk with him. God, help us to proclaim the gospel boldly and clearly. I pray that you will advance your word in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.